Today we're going to talk about angels and demons and how we know that it's been showing up as far as the UFO phenomenon. So we're going to go over the Chris Bledsoe story. I don't know if anybody's heard it. If you haven't, this would be a good time to get some information about it. What I thought was extremely interesting about this story was that we've been talking for such a long time about the UFO phenomenon and how it kind of correlates to in the spiritual side of life. And we think that those are really basically the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of insight do you think that you've kind of come across lately?
Well, I haven't read the book yet. Yeah. We talked about that. But I watched him on like the Danny Jones podcast. Mm-hmm. And I've also started following him and just seeing different things. For me, it's kind of like been really eye-opening to the fact to where it's like, because sometimes you're so set in your ways, you don't want to be open to other things.
Mm-hmm.
But listening to his story, he just seems so genuine. He's so credible.
Yeah.
And, you know, now in these this day and age, it's like that's what people are looking for. Because all around us, you don't know who to trust. You can't trust this. You can't trust that. But it's like to find someone that seems so humble and so, you know, down to earth. I mean, I've never met him, but just listening to him and his family and stuff like that, it's just really, it's kind of like, it's just refreshing to hear his point of view of it, because we've talked about stuff like this before in the past.
Yeah.
Things we've believed.
Yes. It's so good to finally hear a story that I think resembles the other end.
Mm-hmm.
So we've talked so much about the kind of demonic aspects of things. If there's a good thing, there's a bad thing. You know, if there's that great force of God, there is that negative force of sort of demonic energy. And when you look through so many stories, especially when it comes to, say, like UFOs and aliens, you're going to hear a lot of crazy stories.
Yeah.
So you're going to hear stories like Whitley Strieber comes to my mind and his story in Communion. And that's just the most horrifying story that you could possibly imagine.
Yeah.
And you're going to hear so many different stories like that. And honestly, it doesn't represent the phenomenon as a whole.
Yes.
Because if you really dig, especially if you're like, for instance, getting on some Reddit boards where you're not just, you know, people are more anonymous, you're going to hear a lot of people having profoundly beautiful stories.
Mm-hmm.
Stories of meeting entities that are good and kind. And so that really plays back into the Bible, and it plays back into our history as a spiritual beings, as spiritual sort of receivers of this kind of thing. And that's what I love. I love to see somebody in the front line that has one of those stories that are angelic or of God. And I like that there's actually someone talking a little bit more openly about that part.
Mm-hmm.
And with the negative parts, it's hard to discern. So like you hear these stories and it's hard to discern and it's hard to know, okay, is this person telling the truth or is this some kind of government? Has something been infiltrated? Do they want us to be scared? It kind of goes back and forth for me. So it's like I have to find a sort of place where I feel in my heart of hearts that something is good and kind of cling to that.
Yes, and that's kind of what Chris Bledsoe, he always says, you know, don't feed into that fear.
Yes, in the negativity.
Mm-hmm.
And what do we have right now? We have so much fear and negativity, and it's hard to turn it off because we are receivers and we are getting kind of these messages all the time, constantly. And we know, we talk a lot about God on this channel, and we know that it's not always the easiest thing to do.
No.
There's been times when I think we've both thought about quitting, doing this.
Yes, so true.
Because whenever you're talking about God, religion, spirituality, and you're a woman, one of the first things that's going to happen is, and we've talked about how often this happens, but mm-hmm. we put something out there. We talk about maybe the divine feminine. We talk about the Holy Spirit, perhaps in a feminine sense, because we know that even the word spirit, when Jesus is referring to the Holy Spirit, that had a feminine quality in the language mm-hmm. that he spoke at the time. So, but when we talk about that, there is a great backlash. There is a great, like, you know, this is blasphemy. Mm-hmm. We hear it all. And also, of course, we always hear when Paul says not to talk about religion, or women shouldn't talk about these kinds of things. It's against God. We get that a lot. And of course, what we always say is that Jesus appeared to the women. The angel mm-hmm. appeared to the women. In the Gospels, women were told to spread the good news. Yes. Women, they appeared to the women first, and mm-hmm. they told women to spread the good news. So we have to stop putting more emphasis on a man's letter,
yep.
who's very important. I love Paul. I absolutely love Paul. I love I love all of the books of the Bible, obviously, and I believe in all of the books in the Bible. But there is this line of believing the Bible as divinely inspired, or believing it as actually God wrote this. Mm-hmm. And we have to kind of understand that there is a little bit of a difference there. Mm-hmm. God does not explain everything to us in yes. the Bible. And men did write it. So one of the best parts, if you're ever really wondering about that, is to look at the four Gospels. You're going to see some small inconsistencies between mm-hmm. the four Gospels. And Christian apologetics actually use that to prove just how authentic and true the Gospels are, because that is how a man's mind works. Mm-hmm. A human mind remembers things a little differently.
Yeah, that's true.
And not perfect at all. So we have to think of that. If we can give the four Gospels that grace, I think we can certainly give the whole Bible that level of grace of knowing that, okay, a person wrote it. It has been translated.
Yes.
And it doesn't have to affect your faith. It doesn't have to affect yes. your love of God, because that's internal. The body is the temple.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And I mean, God did, he did say he made man and woman in his image.
Yes.
So it's kind of like we can't be so close-minded. It's just like, that's why there's so much division in religions. Like, it's like, if you're not my religion, you're wrong. Mm-hmm. And that's not the way it should be. Mm-hmm. It should be we all come together and, you know, find common ground, and basically, like, you know, in humanity, and just common ground in, if we believe in Jesus mm-hmm. and good, and, you know, doing good things. That's really what it should come down to.
Yes.
You know, not the laws, even though, you know, Jesus, he didn't come to abolish the laws, but...
Yeah, he came to fulfill them.
Yes, and that's one of the things he said, to love, you know, God yeah. first, and then love each other. So for me, it's kind of like when you're doing this and you're talking about God and we're female and we get a lot of hate, mm-hmm. it is disheartening.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like, oh, you know, should we keep talking? I mean, but we just enjoy talking and bouncing ideas off of each other. And, you know, maybe other people like to bounce ideas off too. I mean, yeah. you know, we're just open to hearing that stuff.
Exactly. And we never ever claim to know. We didn't study theology.
Oh, no. We're not preachers.
We're not preachers.
No.
But we do love to talk about our mm-hmm. faith, and mm-hmm. we do know that that's helped us, and it's been what's got us through and guided us through
yes.
every aspect.
Everything.
Every aspect of my life. Yes, in your life. So it's like, you always want to share something that has helped mm-hmm. you greatly.
Of course, of course.
You know.
And that's why the Chris Bledsoe story is so fascinating. Mm-hmm. It's just because it opens up. It's kind of like, you know, we said this, there's a small trickle that's mm-hmm. coming out and what else is going to come out. And that's why there, I think there's a spiritual awakening happening. But do mm-hmm. you want to go into more about his story?
Yeah,
like the people that haven't.
So if you haven't read the book and you don't know the story, I think it was 2007, 2006, mm-hmm. 2007. Chris Bledsoe was a man living in North Carolina. He had an experience. He was out with a group of friends and his son.
Mm-hmm.
And they were out in the woods. And some things happened where he saw something. And then about 4 hours of time went, basically were missing. By mm-hmm. the time he kind of came back to... And he saw something that was bright and shining and looked like a UFO. His son, who was also there, had another experience where he had went to go look for his dad because his dad had been missing. And in his experience, he encountered some beings that mm-hmm. looked much, much like the kind of alien beings that we're familiar with seeing, mm-hmm. but maybe seemed kind of playful. But he was paralyzed with fear because the body... is going to be feeling fear.
Yes.
Every single time in the Bible when an angel is seen, the first things out of their mouth are, do not fear.
That's true.
I mean, there's never, it's scary. Anytime you see something and you don't know what it is, it's frightening.
Mm-hmm.
But he was paralyzed with fear. By the time Chris Bledsoe found him and the group got together, essentially at their campsite, they started to see UFOs again, these extremely bright, frightening UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very close. They got into their truck, left, I think, their campsite just sitting there, mm-hmm. and drove home. And these UFO, UAP things, these orbs of light, they essentially followed them home. They were there as they were driving away.
Mm-hmm.
And then they dropped each person off and they returned to their home. Chris Bledsoe returned to his home with his son and the rest of his family was out of town. And the experience got even weirder mm-hmm. where, some dogs started to bark outside. They went to check, and again, they continued to see.
And he felt like it was only, a couple of hours he was missing? But I forget amount of hours that the group said he was missing.
Yeah, the group said he was missing for several hours. I think four. But he did not experience that. He thought he was only missing for a very short period of time. Later on, he... then began to, I think he had a hypnosis
mm-hmm.
Done. And through that, he believes that he was given a message. He met the lady
mm-hmm.
for the first time who he meets later on. Basically, she looks like a human. She looks like a person.
Mm-hmm.
She's blonde-haired. She's blue-eyed. And he says, she's very beautiful and very welcoming. And he met her. And... he met her that night the first time, but he didn't remember it. Basically, mm-hmm. it was like his mind, maybe it was just too overwhelming.
Too much.
But yeah, we do have a tendency, humans do that.
Mm-hmm.
Humans take in a lot of information and, that's basic psychology. We have things where we won't remember and we have to go through processes of maybe through hypnosis and whatnot that
mm-hmm.
we do begin to remember things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was the first time that he had met her and he was gone for hours. But according to him, because he had no recollection of this, I guess you would call it an abduction,
mm-hmm.
But not really, because it wasn't that typical type of abduction scenario.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to be careful
maybe
using that
maybe an encounter?
Word. Yeah, yeah. You want to be careful using that scenario. But he did not recall it at that time.
Yeah.
So he didn't know where the time went. It was
it's
just
so
gone.
Interesting. And what I just love about, it's so much information, but what I love about his story and him is just, he's so genuine. It's like he will tell, when people ask him questions, he never pretends to be something he's not. If he doesn't know something or if he's not sure, he'll say, yeah, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
Or maybe so. Maybe if someone gives, their opinion, he'll be like, maybe so. And for me, that's what gives him so much credibility because it's kind of mm-hmm. like he doesn't claim to know every little thing, every little detail, like, oh, this person came to tell me the end of the world is blah, blah, blah day, you know?
Yes, yes.
It's so credible because it's kind of like he's so real.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's the exact same thing that I, the same vibe that I pick up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going through and just listening to him talk about his story.
His fascinating life, too. Like,
yes.
He was almost, like, killed or almost died, like,
when multiple times.
When
multiple
he was a child
times.
And young. Yeah. And then you're telling me the story of his first wife.
Yes, he encountered, well.
Because that wasn't in the podcast too much. It was more detail in the book.
Yes, in the book there's a little bit more detail where he talks about this experience with his first wife where he was on a job out of town. He returned. He was very young at the time. And he returned and he was going to meet up and with his wife at this party, or I think he might have been going to surprise her. And so he shows up. He sees her talking to someone, a man, and he gets really jealous. So he ends up getting in his vehicle and driving away. And he only gets so far before he thinks, no, I'm just going to go back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is silly. And he, when he goes back to drive back to the party, he sees that a vehicle has wrecked. And he sees that someone is laying there. So he gets out to help. And he ends up holding this person who is not recognizable because of how bad the accident was.
Mm.
And he holds this person as they die. And this was an experience that haunted him for a long time. At that time, as he was holding her, he did not know that that was his wife.
Mm.
Which is just absolutely devastating. And he had to kind of look around and, okay, what the car? And then, once it clicked, it clicked. But he was there, and it did haunt him for a very, very long time. And that was kind of a significant piece of his first encounter. As he was driving home, rushing home from the campsite with his son and these other friends
mm-hmm.
that all saw and corroborated this story, by the way,
mm-hmm.
he had to pass that road that had happened so many years earlier with his first wife. And as he passed it, he was overcome with a sort of feeling of, it's okay, this wasn't your fault, because he had held that guilt and that sort of feeling, which we all know what it feels like to kind of have like guilt, but
yes.
Can you imagine that
yes.
level? I mean, that's just devastating and so traumatizing to have to go through something like that. But essentially, it was like after that, that was sort of lifted
mm-hmm.
from him. And another important part was that he had been suffering from Crohn's disease,
mm-hmm.
and it was very severe, and it was affecting his whole life and his work. And after that, his Crohn's disease was cured. It was gone.
Yes, because I guess before all that, like, encounter, basically, he said that, you know, he was very successful, but the 2007 crash,
mm-hmm.
and he lost everything.
Yes.
He was suffering immensely with his health,
mm-hmm.
and he cried out to God.
Yes, yes. He had lost his business, and he had had to move,
mm-hmm.
And it was just, yeah, he was going through a lot, and yes, praying and crying out to God, and then this experience.
And then that happened. Because a lot of people I know, I follow them on Instagram, they're like, well, why do you think this is you? Or why do you think this happened to you? And he says he doesn't know.
Right, yeah.
But for me, it's kind of like he has had a pretty interesting life, and he's here to spread some kind of message. I mean, he's been through a lot, and obviously God saved him from a lot of things, and he's been through experiences, and still, you know, today they see the orbs and things.
Mm-hmm.
He's been able to do healings on people, and people will go see him for that, which is amazing.
It's, yes, and I mean, and he gives all credit to the Holy Spirit. Like, he says he mm-hmm. doesn't do the healings, that the Holy Spirit works through him. And I think maybe it is that sort of, when we humble ourselves,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of, I want to say, ownership of God or mm-hmm. ownership of religion that you see in life, where people want to own God or mm-hmm. own the rules. And no. Mm-hmm. I understand the Bible this way and I understand it this way. And they kind of want that ownership. But I think that there has to be this requirement of being humble and going, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
God, I have no idea. God, I'm reading the Bible, but I don't get it. You know, it's mm-hmm. okay to see that and to understand that and to be like, I don't know why this happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that humbleness is mm-hmm. kind of what makes God attracted to somebody and use yes. that person and give them a position. Because, you know, we are all sinners and we mm-hmm. do all do these things, and we have to remember this. We have to remember just within our own selves and our own pride.
Mm-hmm.
And even just this little channel, you know, we don't, you know, it's a very small channel, but you know, there is a moment where people will maybe argue, and there is a sense of like, wait a second. And I can see even in my own self where I want to argue back a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's like, I have to kind of pull myself and be like, wait a second, hold on. I don't know. They don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know. And we just have to have sort of that love, you know, and there's that verse in the Bible that talks about how we really do have to have understanding for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, love, it transcends all. So.
Yep. And going back to that healing thing, I just find it interesting because he said it healed him.
Yes.
And then now he's able to do the healing like through the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
But for me, I think it's kind of like, it's like when he had those experiences, because sometimes we think in today's church or today's world, there's no more healings.
Right.
Like, but Jesus said we could, you know, you're going to do greater things than mm-hmm. I. And also I think it's not really there because people don't want to see it and you kind of shut that door on it. But when he had those encounters and he was healed, I think it kind of just opened the veil
yeah.
for him and his faith
mm-hmm.
in a whole new level. I mean, that's kind of just my opinion. I mean, maybe not, but for me, it's kind of like when you open the veil and have that kind of faith,
mm-hmm.
it's like you would be able to do things like that.
Yes, yes. When you finally allow the Holy Spirit to kind of mm-hmm. come into you, you do have to believe in things.
Yes, you have to.
Yeah, you sure. have to give faith. And if I'm going to watch the news and I'm turning into a particular station, which mm-hmm. I don't really like to watch news, but if you're going to tune into a particular station, you know what you're doing. You're turning the remote, you're turning the dial.
Yes.
And so just, I think even with healing, like if you're going to allow that sort of spirit to enter your body
mm-hmm.
and you want to become a receptor for it, you have to know that you're doing this and believe in it.
And believe in it.
And turn it to that dial.
Exactly. And he is credible. We talked about, like, you know, big agencies
yeah.
have been to his house. They talked to him, mm-hmm. investigated stuff. I mean, they've seen things.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he just tons of people. So it's kind of like this is 100% credible.
Yeah, there's tons of credible witnesses. Not only are there the multiple witnesses that encountered the objects the first night, and not only that, but there was going forward as time continues on, he's constantly having, he's always putting up videotapes mm-hmm. on like Instagram, which mm-hmm. there are people that'll argue and say, okay, this is that or it's that. But there's a lot of people that will join him for like sightings or viewings
mm-hmm.
That they'll do occasionally, and these people will see things.
I would love to go there.
Yeah, me too. And not only that, but a lot of people who hear his story, read his book, say a similar prayer, which he says that he just prays and prays to the Trinity. Mm-hmm. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he just says a simple prayer like you normally would, but he mm-hmm. asked to see it. And then when he's seeing the phenomenon, you'll always hear him say thank you, like in his mm-hmm. videos. But he does, lots of people have seen these things
yeah.
now. Lots of people have seen them kind of secondhand, either not just with him, but just after learning about mm-hmm. it and kind of believing in it.
That's what I found interesting, because I know you just said you finished the book, and I was a lot of people in the comments said they read the book and then they started mm-hmm. seeing things. So I was like, oh boy, I can't wait, Christine.
If you see well, stuff. Well, I did have, you've seen the picture I sent
yes,
you.
Yes, that was pretty interesting.
But, well, I mean, I don't know what it was, but after I read the book, I thought, try this, I'll see. And I did go outside with my husband and a telescope and that sort of thing, but I actually saw something that looked, I would say, almost like a shooting star. I wouldn't say that it just looked like the typical UFO yes. kind of thing, but I just saw something kind of moving, but it moved in a way where I didn't think it was like a plane or anything. So I thought, I wish I could see it better. And I was trying to video, but it wouldn't show up on my phone. So, but I know that like the iPhone has like night vision, you know?
Yes.
So I just snapped a shot of it, and I can put the picture up when we're done.
Yes, dude, because I'll put the picture. For me, it looked like I was like, well, that's not a plane.
No. I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it was, but it wasn't a plane, but.
It had a like a greenish color
yes,
to it.
I mean, I can't wait to see if you see some more stuff.
Yeah. And I'm open. I mean, it could have been anything. I don't know enough about stuff like that to tell you what yeah. it is. So, I mean, it could be anything, but it was kind of odd, and it had like a greenish
Well,
tint
a lot
to
of
it.
The people say, go look in the sky. That's kind of what they all say. Like mm-hmm. after they read the book, they said, just be aware, go look in the sky. Mm-hmm. Speaking of being aware, just like in nature kind of stuff, it was fascinating because he did say he was like, they were like avid hunters, they mm-hmm. country boys. You know, he grew up hunting. He took his children hunting, and then after that experience, you know, he won't even kill a spider. Like, he's yeah. letting them outside.
Yes.
And I just thought, whoa, that's really interesting and fascinating. Yeah. But it reminds me of the spiritual awakening going around, because we've talked about it before. It's kind of like in nature. It's like your yes. eyes are open to different things, and you see things differently.
Yes.
So it kind of reminded me of that. Just, yes. I'm not going to say I'm not going to squish a fly or something.
Yeah.
Or a mosquito. I'm sorry.
Yes. If it's in the house, especially. But no, I know exactly what you mean. Is what we talk about this for such a long time. We've been saying that like going outside is so therapeutic.
It is.
And it's what I really feel like it's what is lacking so much right now. And we talk about the overwhelming rates of depression and anxiety. But when you're going outside and you're in nature, you just feel better. Like when you have the sun on you mm-hmm. and when you have, and also just being under the moonlight too, it's this amazing experience looking up at the
stars.
Well,
we know that the sun, I mean, you know, you can take vitamins, get your vitamin D and different things like that, but we know the sun does give us really our vitamin D that we
yeah.
need.
It makes you feel, you know, just so much better in many ways.
But I know we got off subject, but we were talking about, you know,
yeah.
the other
well
side
going of- back to the Chris Bledsoe story and his experiences, just kind of moving forward as he's experiencing these things and he's seeing these orbs and he's being kind of almost like excommunicated from he was in church
yeah.
and being kind of picked on. People were putting holy water in his yard. People were sort of being, you know, mean to his children. His children were going through a lot at school.
It's terrible.
Because he'd had these experiences, and they did do a documentary with the Discovery Channel that didn't do very well mm-hmm. as far as like, basically it was there to sensationalize the story
yeah.
and to get ratings. And it wasn't there to sort of help with any spiritual experience trying to display that, because that's not what they're ever there for.
Yes.
They want things to be fear inducing.
Yes,
or
of course.
Is this person lying, or is mm-hmm. this person telling the truth? It's there for ratings. And so, but as the years passed and he's seeing these things, and then the rest of his family begin to see mm-hmm. these things, and people begin to get interested. He went through, and the people that started to investigate him were much further beyond the UFO group. And see, when he got more involved in these like sort of underground UFO groups or the people that do these UFO kind of conventions and stuff like that. That his story, I don't think, seemed to be as appreciated in that community.
Yes.
And so it was more like scientists were interested in his story. Religious professors were interested in his story. The Vatican was interested in his story. And there is a whole part of his story where he gets a message that there's an issue. Somebody's going to try to kill the Pope. And that message is relayed to the Vatican. And a man is apprehended, most likely due to this information.
Wow.
And this person was going to try to kill the Pope.
That's fascinating.
So there's so many layers to it. So, I mean, there's a layer of, like, prophecy there that's happening. There's the layer of healing that's happening. And then there were some more encounters. After he had the hypnosis and he was basically regressed and able to understand more about what happened that first night when he was missing for hours, and he learned more about that, he had a distinct feeling that he was sort of like in a desert area. I think he thought maybe it was like Utah, oddly enough. And so, but she gave him some messages for the future and essentially kind of maybe like a return of the divine feminine, which is something that we feel really strongly about. And in that sort of message about the balance and that things will then kind of begin to balance and we would maybe even be brought into 1,000 years of peace, 1,000-year reign of peace, which is talked about in the Bible. And I think some of the other messages that she gave were involving, and I think this message might be later on, but she said that when the star Regulus goes in alignment with the gaze of the Sphinx, then there's going to be a new knowledge that's going to be basically all around the world. We're going to come under a new knowledge.
Wow.
And what that really means, I don't know. And he doesn't really claim to know either. But that they've done the math on that. And that's going to occur right around Easter of 2026.
Wow.
And such a weird part of that too is she appeared to him on Easter 2 years in a row. And this time he didn't need hypnosis to remember it. This time she appeared in person. He saw a bull come first, like a gust of wind, and then he saw her and she's basically like floating. And she spoke to him. She told him that she would be with him. She would protect him if he continued to spread the message. And she needed him to spread this message and get it out there. And I mean, when you really think about encountering something like that, it's amazing.
It is.
And there's so much, I understand that a lot of people are going to be, they're going to go a different route with it. So they're going to look at that, hear that, and go kind of like, well, is it demonic?
Or
is
a lot of people say that, but...
Yes. And I mean, and we would talk about things like that for other experiences. But here's where I'm kind of at with that. So you're going to know a tree by its fruit. And you have to remember that in the Bible, when Jesus is casting out a demon of it's a mute man, and he casts this demon out, and this man begins to talk. The people were jealous, and the people started to talk, and they started to say, he's doing this work by the prince of demons, Beelzebub. He's doing this work by the demons. And so, and I have it written down too. It's Luke 11:14. But I think this is such an important part to think about. So Jesus says, any country that divides itself into groups which fight each other will not last very long. And I wanted to stop there for just a second. Think about our country. Right now, it's divided into groups that are fighting each other.
I know.
So I feel like...
Not just our country either.
Yes.
Other countries too.
Yes.
We're all over the world.
You're seeing it in all these other countries. So it's like, what a prophetic statement, mm-hmm. right? Just there in itself. But he says, any country that divides itself into groups which fight each other will not last very long. A family divided against itself falls apart. So if Satan's kingdom has groups fighting each other, how can it last? Mm-hmm. You say that I drive out demons because Beelzebub gives me the power to do so. But just, I mean, really, really kind of, and you know, you can look it up, Luke 11:14 to kind of go further. But he's saying a very famous saying. A lot of people will attribute it to Abraham Lincoln, where he says, the house divided cannot stand.
Yeah.
And it's so true. So look at the fruit. Look at the fruit of the tree. Mm-hmm. So if it's healing and it's goodness, then it's not of the devil.
Yes, exactly.
And then there are other stories. Listen, there are lots of other stories that I could point out where the fruit looks very different.
Yes, definitely. And like you said, it's by the fruit. Look at the fruit. Yes,
just look at the fruit that it produces. If you're ever curious, if you're ever wondering, okay, is this person demonic? Look at what they're doing. Are they doing anything demonic?
Well, that also reminds me, I heard a pastor or someone who was saying, like, someone asked the questions, like, how do you know if this is from God? Like, I'm hearing this word, you know, I'm hearing this in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And how do I know if this is from God, or mm-hmm. how do I know if this is from the devil?
Yeah.
And he says, you have to, well, is it good mm-hmm. or is it bad? So it's kind of like, you know, you have to look at the scriptures of what God says too. But it's kind of like, you know, God's never going to tell you to go do something horrible.
No.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. You'll know. You have enough common sense to know, okay, you can rebuke those evil spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of like you have to take your stand and know who you are. You're a child of God. You have to take those stands and stand firm on that and stand your ground and over you and your family. Mm-hmm. You know, you pray those things. But for me, that it's kind of all goes together.
Yeah.
It's kind of like it all goes back to the Bible. But it's like God is never going to, you'll know if you hear something from God. It's only going to be true and pure.
Yes. If it's ever something that is, the fruit of that is bad,
mm-hmm.
then you'll know.
Yes, exactly.
So it's just, and if it's not, if it's good and the person is trying to spread good news,
mm-hmm.
then to accuse people of demonic activity or dabbling with the demonic is such a position to take, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of shocking, especially knowing that he came from like the Pentecostal
mm-hmm.
Background, and they're so into the Holy Spirit and stuff like that and the supernatural.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, of all religions, to kind of, they turn their back on them.
Mm-hmm.
It's shockingly, because it's like, if they believe, they believe in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, how can you turn your back on that if, you know, you can't just pick and cherry pick what you want.
Yeah.
And think, oh, well, this doesn't seem right. This is from the devil because this ain't right. You know, we do live in a spiritual realm. Like, there's so much things we don't understand. We'll never understand.
Yeah, it's that pride.
Mm-hmm.
It's that pride is a weight mm-hmm. on you. And it's that kind of like, I don't understand this. This isn't how I originally interpreted it. Mm-hmm. So we really do have to pull back mm-hmm. on that a little bit.
Yep.
Because man will always try to fit God into a box. And, you know, God, that's how men build things, you know. So mm-hmm. God builds silical, you know, like the earth is round and, you know, our moon is round and our sun is round and mm-hmm. everything. An egg inside of a woman is round. I mean, life is round.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this circular with no real beginning, no real end.
Mm-hmm.
And men, they build things in squares. And they build, you know, a house, a TV, your phone, everything is a square. The book.
Even your car.
Right, right.
Pretty square, rectangle.
Yes, yes. And it's just like, that's our doors and our books and everything is a square with these really defined edges. And we really have to step outside of that box and understand that this is something, the spiritual realm and God and the idea of God, it's it's so broad.
Yes.
And we can't, you could never fathom just how broad it is, mm-hmm. And how all encompassing it is. We just can't understand it. Our brains can't fit that kind of information in. Yeah.
And it's just, and it's not all bad people. It's God fearing no. Christians that just don't want to be open to anything.
Absolutely.
Ever. Like, you know, this is what I was raised at. This is what I know. If it brings them a little bit of question or fear, they just can't handle it.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, Jesus on the cross, some of his last words were, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he loves these people. Mm-hmm. I mean, he loved the people. He was praying for the people that were putting him to death because they didn't mm-hmm. understand.
Yeah.
They misunderstood. They didn't get it. They misunderstood. They didn't see the signs. And he didn't look the way they thought he was going to look.
Yeah, he didn't look the way they thought. And they honestly probably didn't like him because they didn't want, in their minds, even though they didn't want him to look like a man or come from that kind of status,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
they Carpenter's want, son. Yeah, they didn't want that.
Yeah. And that, I think they were looking more for, yeah, I mean, just to be a descendant of King David, thinking more of a king in the line of Judah, and just more of just a different kind of force. Mm-hmm. And so, and here he came. And he was saying, you know, he was healing on the Sabbath and he was breaking things that they thought were rules. Mm-hmm. But he was like, you know, I mean, he was really just like wanting to help people and heal people and mm-hmm. spread that to everybody. And so, and offer that to everyone. And that's the beauty of it. I mean, that's the amazing part. And so it's not about being in an exclusive club. And anytime mm-hmm. you're looking at these exclusive clubs, an alarm goes off in my mind, you know, mm-hmm. of, you know, anytime you're trying to exclude people.
Yes.
It's not a good idea. No. Like, if you're really trying hard to exclude people, then what that tells me is that it's not Christ-like to me.
No, and I think that's what turns a lot of people away from religion or, you know, mm-hmm. Christianity, is because they do feel so judged. And it's kind of like they look at that and they're like, well, you know, you're judging me, or, you know, they're downright mean.
Yes.
Sometimes to people. So it's kind of like Jesus did say, you know, he came for the sinner. He didn't come from the healthy person.
Yeah, if you don't need him, then he won't come. if you're perfect on your own, then he's, you know, what can he do for you?
Exactly. So, but it's kind of like that's what turns people off, though, and I think that's what makes people, it divides people, because they're not really seeing the things how Jesus taught them or how Jesus sees them. Yeah. They're seeing what man wanted, man-made religion.
Exactly.
For a lot of control, a lot of rules.
Mm-hmm. And it's there. I mean, yeah, and that's the perfect verse.
And I'm not saying don't be in a church or anything. I'm just saying have to be wise enough to know that everybody in the churches is imperfect. No one's perfect.
Yes.
We have imperfect people. That's just the way it is. I mean,
that's, yeah. And I think that that is the best verse kind of to describe the whole thing is, you know, when he said that he came for the sick, or he, you mm-hmm. know, a sick person needs a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it is that the other person sinned less.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think it's that the other person was tethered with pride and yes. they couldn't see their sin.
Exactly.
And that's the scarier part, is when we can't look at ourselves and realize just, I'm a mess. Like you,
yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing. No, I don't know what I'm.
Yeah.
You know.
Just like the lady that was, they wanted a stone, you know, and he said, hey, you cast the first stone who hasn't sinned.
Yes.
That's, I mean, shows you right there. He's trying to tell him.
Exactly. And going back to like the Chris Bledsoe story, and going back to the lady, because we've talked about it before mm-hmm. a little bit, but But going back to that lady, we've kind of went through, like, who is this lady that appeared to him? And I've read some things that said that he may attribute her to kind of like, he just calls her the lady. Mm-hmm. I've read some things that he may attribute her to a figure named Hathor. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't confirm that. I saw that on like a Reddit or something, but I couldn't confirm.
I've heard that too, but I don't know if it's true. But I've heard that.
And when he calls her the lady, it reminds me of the Marian apparitions. Mm-hmm. So we have like the Our Lady of Guadalupe, mm-hmm. and all of these amazing stories. And they really, you know, the Catholic Church calls them essentially like the Marian apparition. It's Mary. But really, when the women appear, and this has happened in a few different places, of course, or many, many places, actually. But when they appear, they often would like them to build a church, or they'll give them some information. Sometimes they're weeping. And there's often like events. So in one of the cases, the lady appeared to some children. And I'm sure you've heard of the phenomenon where they gathered up all these people to look at the sun. And whenever they looked at the sun, there's this enormous group. They all look up at the sun, and then the sun starts to do different things. And even to each person, right, you know, the sun was doing different things. So for some people, it was just kind of like wiggling, and some people it was zigzagging. But everybody saw some kind of insane phenomenon in the sky that is, I think it's recognized by the Catholic Church as being a miracle, the miracle of the sun. And I mean, if you wanted more information of that, you could look it up. It's such an interesting story of her appearing to these kids and telling them about this. And, you know, and then they gathered this huge, because she's kept appearing to them. And gathering this enormous amount of people. I think even like reporters and stuff were there. And it happened, but all of these people walked away with this, you know, feeling of, okay, I saw something spiritual, a spiritual phenomenon in the sky.
Oh, wow.
And to me, that also is really, really profound.
That's so interesting. There's so many little things and tidbits of just people really, you know, want to become more aware of stuff.
So many stories.
And I'm glad people are talking about it. Because honestly, listen, 10 years ago, me and you were not talking about this kind of stuff, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've always, you know, believed in God and read about, but it was really, you just didn't hear a lot about stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
You really didn't. And to me, again, I think it is just that spiritual awakening. People are really waking up. And I think we're already coming under a new knowledge in a weird way.
I do too.
It's like all of these weird little dots that I never connected in my life, I started to connect. Mm-hmm. And it's like I started to see similarities in this place, in this history, in this ancient religion, in this ancient story, or this, you know. Yeah. And we start to connect these dots, and it's amazing. But I was going to say, there was this part where Chris Bledsoe, so after he has seen this lady that appears to him two Easters in a row, and she gives him this information about, you know, what we have to anticipate possibly in 2026.
Yes.
One of the things that really struck me is we also have a comet that, like, we know is coming around that time. I think it's going to hit in, like, 2027.
Yes.
And at first they said it wasn't going to hit.
Yes. I think we talked a little bit about that in one of our other podcasts.
Yeah.
Videos.
Yeah. But it's like now they're saying it might hit. And it's going to circle the Earth, and it might hit on the way back or something. So it's like, I mean, I don't know. But I find that really just kind of a strange little tidbit. And then we see what's going on in the world today, where we had this pandemic.
Yep.
where, you know, of course, if you looked in Revelation, Revelation would say that there is disease was spilled out by one of the angels, and then it goes into line of different things that we're going to experience. And but really, when we stick to just Jesus in the Gospels, he's even talking about how there's going to be wars, rumors of wars. And so, I mean, we do have some different ideas about what would happen and what sort of the messianic coming back would look like that age, that messianic age where he comes back and he rules for 1,000 years, and what that would look like. And I wonder, when they talk about rapture, and we've always been taught the whole like left behind theory of rapture, we're literally in our physical bodies raptured up, and maybe we are, I mean, that's cool too. But then we also talk about how there's going to be 1,000-year reign. So there's two sort of different ideas and how that plays into it. And I wonder, in a way, if the rapturing part is more of a, you're being brought into a new knowledge, because I think the rapture word actually translates in Latin to sort of like taken up. So I just wonder exactly what... I think there's probably misunderstandings is what I'm saying.
Yeah, we just, we don't know. I mean, we don't know everything. That's why I think everybody really just can't claim to know everything. We can't just be so close-minded.
Yeah, I think we have to be very open-minded. And I saw this, documentary. And this is a while back, before I'd heard of Chris Bledsoe. But it was a UFO documentary. And, well, it was more of like an alien encounter documentary. But there were, in Brazil, there were a couple of beings that were thought to have crashed there. And people drew these beings. And they had like red eyes. And there were little girls that saw them. And they interviewed a lot of people for this. It really seemed like a legit case. I mean, a very legit case.
Interesting.
Well, one of these beings, some girls came across it. They didn't touch it, but they looked at it and they said it looked like it was afraid. And so it was almost like they felt sorry for it, because it was just, it was cowering. They said it appeared to not take to the heat very well. And it appeared like it was covered in like a shiny substance all over its body, almost like an oily substance. And it had a bad smell. And it was just cowering and frightened, just horrifyingly frightened in this field. Well, somewhere very nearby, another person had an encounter. And this person, I believe, was in the military or the police or something like that.
Okay.
He decided to capture. He saw something almost exactly the same. He decided to capture it. So he grabbed it and scooped it up, and they did capture it. Well, this man, his sister was interviewed for this documentary. And in this documentary, the sister says that her brother then developed a strange infection within hours of this encounter. And she had like medical records and all kinds of things. They don't know, but he died. He died very quickly.
Oh my gosh.
And he was young, fit, healthy.
What in the world?
And they don't know. It was some type of, I think, I don't know if they said it was like a bacterial infection or what it was. But it's very, I think it's very weird, because we do have some people from the military that have come out during this sort of slow leak. And whether it's real, I mean, you just don't know what to believe. But they've said that people have died after having contact. And I found it really strange, because Chris Bledsoe mentioned on his Instagram that he was told not to get too close to these sort of bright, shining orbs, especially when they're really bright. And he was told that by the military or the government, and he was also told that by the Vatican. So I'm wondering if it's something to do with ultraviolet radiation that could possibly harm our bodies. I'm just throwing some things out there. If something is extremely bright and it's giving off, you know, it's used to being close to the sun and it's giving off something, Or in the case of these sort of like entities, I'm wondering if they would have different bacterial or fungal kind of secretions and stuff on their body. That would make sense if you're not really from around here.
That's so weird.
I mean, it brings you back to the War of the Worlds book from, 100 years ago, how
Yeah.
it was H.G. Lewis, but he said that, the ending of that is that the aliens died because they didn't have immunity to all of our diseases and stuff.
Oh
So,
my
but I mean, how weird.
That is weird.
It's very weird, and I don't know. I just thought I would throw that out there because I thought that was odd. And just the Brazil story, if you wanted to look it up, it's just an odd story too.
That is so weird.
And there's a lot of witnesses to it, and a
Golly.
lot of reasons to believe that it's a very legit story, and that it really happened. So, I mean, you have these kinds of things, and then you have like the Marian apparitions, and you have the saints that go through these kinds of things, and people don't realize how many stories of saints there are where they fly and like hundreds of people witness it, or they levitate, or they travel. In one of the strangest ones, there is a saint, and I want to say her name was Teresa of Avila, but basically she's in the convent, she's a nun. And she would levitate, and tons of people would see her levitate, and she was kind of embarrassed by the levitation. But she also had cosmic travels, and she would write in this diary about these cosmic travels, and she didn't know really what they were, but she was felt like she was traveling.
That's fascinating.
It's very weird, and she saw like space, and she was,
Weird.
it's so strange. But she had such similar experiences, and she even had this experience where she believed that sort of like an angel-ish thing pierced her heart with an arrow, but
Whoa.
It created both pain, but also she said like ecstasy, basically like a beautiful experience. It was something that was both painful, but also so overwhelmingly beautiful and full of love. It was just this
Weird.
very weird.
That's so weird.
And there's so many instances, if you start to look it up and you look at like the stories of saints and the things that they've gone through, or the people that they haven't canonized as saints, but they will eventually. There are so many supernatural stories,
Interesting.
so many things that have to do with, again, like flying. There's this one guy who's a saint, but people just saw him flying. He
I
would
mean, I know
fly.
we're laughing, but it's kind of like this stuff has just been there, but it's like coming out and people are more open to hearing it and things.
And that's why it's like there are people out there right now. I'm going to say the majority of people out there right now that are Christians, and they'll say, I'm a Christian. But they're not really looking at the whole history of Christianity and what it says that we do and what we're a part of and what we're capable of. And we're just, again, just putting it in this box, and we've got to start to unwrap that box
I
and
mean, I
open it
do
up.
believe that. I believe that we do put ourselves in our box. I think just of our mental capability, we don't let ourselves go there. That's why I was saying earlier about the healings. I don't think stuff like that takes place as much now. It's because people just shut it off. They don't want to move the veil. They don't want to have that complete faith. It's like it's shut. And of course, I think people higher up in certain things in the government and different things, I think they don't want stuff like that opened up because it would just, I mean, you know, there would go be a lot of companies that would be out of business if people could heal themselves or get healed or just different things like that. I mean, come on.
Definitely. I think the government is one thing, and possibly even just really these like secret organizations that have ties to a lot of the pieces of the government. We have all these really old secret societies that are very questionable. Going back to that, like, if you're exclusive and you're secret, why?
Why?
Why? What needs to. The fact that you're keeping it a secret tells me mm-hmm. that it's something I should probably know. I mean, and maybe people can't handle, I'm not going to lie, like maybe people couldn't handle the aspect of aliens. Maybe that would just pull their minds. And so that's always been the excuse for why the government might hide something like that. But I'm going to say this. People were pretty open-minded spiritually 100 years ago.
That's true.
So when they're first having contact with stuff, I don't know. It makes me feel like I really don't think people would have been so non-receptive
yes.
to this community. I think now, yes. Mm-hmm. I think now people have really dug their heels in mm-hmm. and just recently they've started to kind of bloom.
Oh yeah, because way back, I mean, there was the ancient times and stuff, people were interested and they were very open to that kind yeah. of stuff. Like, you know, they were open to the fairies, you know, just different yeah. different things. They were open to all that kind of stuff. Very, yes. very spiritual.
Yes, it was so normal to understand. Like right now, they're talking about quantum physics and they're talking about realms and the multiverse. Mm-hmm. And it's like, really, if you go back, they were describing that stuff 1,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, they really were. Mm-hmm. Hundreds of years ago, they were already describing it, and it was kind of like a known thing. Like,
someone started to suppress it. That's what yes. that's what happened.
Yes. I think somebody started to suppress it for power and for domination and yep. for maybe a moment of coming up against these two things. And we have to remember to pray mm-hmm. to stay, I think, close to God.
Yeah.
And just kind of really understand what's going on and don't let people fool you. Mm-hmm. And be prepared for some type of disclosure, because we've been getting the drip.
Just oh yeah, it's gonna happen.
I mean, be prepared for something.
Don't freak out. I mean,
yeah, know. don't get scared. Don't.
No. Fear is from the enemy. We don't want to be afraid.
Yeah. This battle is already won.
Yeah, that's right.